What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another fantastic episode of Why We Play. I have, honestly, probably the guest that I'm most nervous about talking to and most excited to talk to, so I'm gonna let him introduce himself now.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm Andres, otherwise known as I Play Games. Like my nickname says, I play games. I also do a podcast about Overwatch, for those of you who play it. And I'm generally very passionate about everything that has to do with the video game industry, esports, and rock music.
That's awesome. So, okay, so now it's, you know, plug time. You are the co-host, or I guess it's, you guys are both hosts, right? So, of the Omnic Lab podcast, which is show I've been listening to literally since episode one. And Anders may not know it, but you guys are actually more of the impetus for me starting my own show.
Oh, well, that's good to know, man. That's great that we could inspire you to start podcasting. I think everybody should podcast, honestly.
No, I it's something I've always toyed around with. I've been listening to podcasts since podcasts were a thing. And just listen to you guys like bootstrap it from episode one and, you know, just go with it. You guys put on a really great show, and it shows the time and dedication you guys put into it. So
thank you for doing the show. That.
From a fan to you.
And you're welcome too.
So what games, besides obviously Overwatch, have you been playing right now? We're going to talk a little bit of Overwatch later. Don't worry, but,
good, because that's probably the game that I've been playing the most since I started doing a podcast about it a year ago. But lately, I've been getting a little bit into the new Zelda. My roommate got it for the Wii, and I've been really playing that game. I think it's a fantastic game. Really enjoying myself with it. I've been playing a little bit of Hearthstone, for those who know that game. I'm generally a kind of a Blizzard fanboy since I was a teenager playing Warcraft 3. So I generally gravitate to a lot of the games that they do. So a lot of Hearthstone, a lot of Overwatch. I've been playing that Zelda. And aside from that, not been playing too many other games. I wish I could. Before, I could give me the luxury of playing a lot of them. But now life has gotten a little busier, and I kind of have to be more selective about the ones that I actually play.
So yeah, so I'm assuming because you guys do a show, right? Overwatch takes up a bulk of your time.
Yeah, sometimes it's not so much as playing the game, but it feels a little bit like work nowadays, since, you know, every week we have to come up with content and new stuff for the show, but it's still very enjoyable, and I'm still very addicted to that game.
So that's good you still enjoy it. I mean, it's not like, it doesn't feel like you're playing it for a job, right?
So No, but sometimes it is a little jobby in its own way.
So with these glut of new releases too, like, do you feel, so this is something I struggle with, because I try to at least touch everything that comes out now, especially because I have the disposable income to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel weird pangs of guilt if I'm like playing another game and I really want to play Overwatch, and it goes the opposite way as well. Like, do you ever feel that, like, if I'm playing Overwatch, I'm like, man, I really want to get back. I'm currently playing Mass Effect right now. And so, like,
nice.
If I'm playing one or
How
the
is
other,
the game, by the way? I haven't played it.
I enjoy it. If you like Mass Effect, you'll like this one. I'll say that. It has its issues. It has its... You can go on the internet and see the cavalcade of issues that, you know, people are berating this game for. I think that the original trilogy was put on a very high pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's getting trashed right now. If you can separate yourself from that, like, it's a quality game. It's still really good. But
gotcha. I haven't tried to try it out, but I was a fan of the original series.
Well, the original series is a staple. I played all three again before this one came out.
Oh, nice.
To which I felt that same guilt, like I should be playing Overwatch, or I should be playing Ghost Recon, or, you know, anything like that.
I totally know what you mean by that. Right now it's happening with Zelda, because the game has been so addictive to me, and I'm a big fan of the original series and Ocarina of Time and all the stuff. I grew up pretty much with it. But now that it's come out, it's kind of like taking up a lot of my gaming time. And I almost feel like I'm cheating on Overwatch with Zelda. And sometimes I feel like I should be spending more time playing Overwatch since, you know, I have to keep up like a certain standard of playing to be able to like talk about it, and also to keep up with like all the changes that are coming out and try and come up with content. So whenever I'm not playing it, I definitely feel a little guilty that I'm not playing the game anymore. But I mean, you also have to make time and a little space for other games, because you can get burned out on a game, and after a while it won't be fun anymore if you're just kind of grinding and grinding the game without, you know, any real goal or satisfaction.
No, I completely, I'm about to run my head into a brick wall. I want to play Overwatch, especially now that Arisa's out. I want to play with her a little bit more, because I didn't play it all during that week that she was just in quick play.
Yeah.
Which normally, like, I've been crying for that. I'm a console player. I play on Xbox. And so, like, when a new hero would drop, you would go into competitive, and you would see somebody picking that new hero the first day, and you'd be like, really? Like,
they don't know how to play it.
Yeah, like, yeah, come on, you're throwing the game at this point, it feels like. And you may be fantastic and have been playing since launch, but normally I would get on, like, the hour after the patch drops, and yeah, I don't think you've had enough time to practice with her.
So, no, absolutely. So I think that out of all the releases, this one was the best. They did a very soft release of kind of like introducing her and then being able to play her. I won't get into too in-depth with that, but out of all of them, I think they got it better with it.
No, it was perfect, especially having that weak buffer room between being able to go into comp with her, which normally that'd be the time to go, you know, get some test games in and see how she feels. Didn't touch it once because I was just trying to get through Mass Effect because I'm about to run into the wall that is Persona 5. Which now all the coverage is coming out. That's like a 100-hour game. So I'm just like,
oh. Yeah, seems like you are going to be spending a lot of time in that.
Yeah, it's going to be back and forth between that and Overwatch whenever I can feel comfortable doing it.
That's the other thing about games like Overwatch. I feel like other games are a little more forgiving if you don't play them for a while and then come back. But Overwatch, like any other like competitive shooter, it's very dependent on your muscle memory. And if you're not playing it every day, you can immediately tell that you start becoming a little worse.
Oh, 100%. I've been feeling that this week, like, really bad. So
I was able to get it. Yeah, I hate it. Whenever I can play for a weekend and then come back, I feel like I'm learning the game again.
It's true. And especially, I mean, you play McCree too. So, I mean, my worst hero by far.
I love McCree. He's my favorite.
So, okay. This is the same question I ask everybody who comes onto the show. When and with what, like, how'd you start playing games? Because everybody has, like, a different way that they started, a different introduction to this medium that we all, you know, have common ground on. Where did you start playing games, and, like, what game was that first game that you remember?
Ooh, that was a long time ago. I remember the first time I heard about video games. I was, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years old, and I was in school, and I heard this group of kids just talking about this thing, and they were describing it, having all these buttons, and that you could do all these things, but I had never actually seen a video game in my life. I was really young, and I had no idea what these kids were talking about, but up until this day, I still remember this conversation of me just trying to make out what was that they were talking about. And then eventually one of the kids invited us to his house and was like, yeah, come check it out for yourselves. And we went, and he had a Super Nintendo at the time, and he was playing the original Donkey Kong Country. And it was love at first sight. That second I touched that controller and started playing that game, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this exists. This is so freaking fun. After that, I would just beg my mom for a Super Nintendo. I was like, please, please, let me get one. But at the time, especially like in the 90s, video games were really just a pastime, hobby, / waste of time that would like detract you from school and stuff. So my parents were super strict about that. They were like, nope, can't have a Super Nintendo. That's too much of a waste of time. And I never stopped asking for one. And eventually, it was like my 9th birthday or something like that. My mom picks me up from my friend's house and she's like, hey, I got a surprise for you. Look in the back of the car. And I look behind me, and sure enough, she had bought me the Super Nintendo. I don't know what got into her that day or something, but she felt generous. She got it for me. And it was like one of the happiest days of my life. I was like thrilled. Still remember that little Super Nintendo. The only thing was that at the time she got it for me with this game called Yoshi's Island. And I really wanted Donkey Kong. So I was like, oh man, I freaking got Yoshi. But I eventually ended up liking the game. And after that, it's been just discovering more games. I got into PC. And I really like the competitiveness and like all the stuff that you can do on PC games, like customizing your games and being able to play them at the max settings, all that stuff. And here I am. Now I'm creating content and podcasting about them.
So it's just been a steady climb for you at this point, right?
Yeah, I think that if I could make video games like a significant part of my life, and I think they already are. But even like make a living solely out of video game content, or even like creating my own video game one day, I think it would be super, super awesome. I'm really passionate about them, at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've struggled with the same thing, right? I go to my, well, now my hours are actually 1 to 4. So I go to my 1 to 4 job, or 4 to 1, whatever it is. And, yeah, like it's something that I have to juggle too, like, 'cause games are a bigger part of you know, who I am growing up. I mean, I've been playing games since I was 4, 5. Mm-hmm. It's always been something that's been like there, and it's always been like a go-to. Like, it's at the point now where I don't even like really care about watching TV or movies at all. I'd rather just pick up a game and dive into that instead of you know, watching a TV show with you know, the 45-minute time slot that's completely scripted out, whereas if I can go on
and yeah, I can play games. Yeah, I totally feel you there.
Like, I can play games that are, like, 100 hours and tell me a more in-depth, not more in-depth, but, like, a longer-tailed story where I'm a protagonist in it. It's just my preferred medium of choice now. It's hard for me to, like, I fall asleep in movies all the time now.
You can't play with the characters in movies, man.
Exactly.
It's too boring.
Trust me, I know. If I go to a movie theater, I'm good. But like, if we're just watching one on the couch, like, I'm either playing Heroes of the Storm or Zelda or sleeping.
No, I totally feel you. Most of my time, that my leisure time at least, I prefer spending it gaming. And I still do watch a couple movies and stuff because I have a girlfriend, so it's unavoidable. You gotta do a little Netflix with her.
Netflix and chill?
Yeah, a little Netflix and chill. Every once in a while, she go mad. But aside from that, yeah, I just game all the time. And I really think that it's an awesome medium, right? And I was like thinking about it earlier today about how video games are really like the climax of art and technology kind of like married together. Like, they involve so many disciplines to create a video game. You have to have illustrators, musicians, you have to have coders that understand like physics, so there's a lot of science into them. And then bringing all of them together, like, not even movies, like you said, can do that, because you become a protagonist in these games and they create like this immersive worlds. It's really baffling how video games have come this long way. I'm really impressed by them all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Have you watched the, it's called The Double Fine Adventure on YouTube?
I have not.
It is a, like, I think it's like a 26-part documentary series about the Double Fine studio making Broken Age, which is their point-and-click adventure game, that literally goes into like the dirty, dirty details of actual game development and how many people actually like put their fingers on that game. And like, it's a great in-depth look on the creation process from the positive to the extremely negative. Like, if you actually like, that's a fantastic, I recommend this to everybody who I actually talk to. Go watch that documentary, because it's A, it's free, and B, it's just it's riveting to watch.
Mm-hmm. I'll check it out. That sounds like a fun stuff and thing to listen to. I love watching all the behind the scenes stuff because you're right. They put a lot of work into these things. And for example, you'll hear Jeff Kaplan, the director of Overwatch, talking about his team sometimes, and he'll say it outright, like, these guys are so smart that I think they could put a rocket on the moon if they really wanted to, but here they are coding for this game, you know what I mean? And yeah. I think it can be equally hard sometimes. You have to have such a huge understanding of the world around you and what people like, what people think is fun, and bring all that together into one piece.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, they also wrestle for balance changes and such in the studio with Jeff Kaplan.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Dino Flask videos just, like, catch me every time.
That's a good video, yeah. Give you a good laugh, too.
I'm sorry, I had quick divergent there because I was watching them again today because it was, you know, whatever. I was bored. So you create content now. You've had this steady growth of, like, playing and discovering games since, you know, your Super Nintendo back in the day.
That's correct.
What was the catalyst for you starting Omnic Lab?
I have a background in audio, and before I got into all this content creation stuff, I was making music in school, and I was pursuing kind of an audio career. I'm very passionate about rock, like I said earlier, and I love recording guitars. I love recording drums. I like making songs and writing them. So I was going down that path, and basically I got very acquainted with audio and how to record and the whole shebang. And then it was kind of like, well, now I have these two kind of like big pools of knowledge, both in video games and in audio. And so podcasts kind of like came around that time. I started listening to a lot of gaming podcasts because the medium was becoming so popular for people to share information through it. And I was working at a recording studio at the time. So I was interning during school, and basically I had to do kind of like all the bitch work, basically. Like, if they wanted some coffee or they needed like some food, I would go get it for them. And it was a great experience because I got to work with a lot of bands and a lot of different people. And the studio was super stacked. They had like all the equipment that you would ever wanted, and I could use it on the spare time. But while people were recording, basically I just had like a lot of downtime, right? If they didn't need me at the time, I was just kind of like roaming around the studio or running errands. And podcasting was like the best thing to just fit in place right there. I started listening to a lot of them, and then I started talking to a lot of friends who also play video games, and I started seeing kind of like a general interest in people doing this kind of stuff, especially because the barrier of entry into podcasting nowadays is very low, right? Like, anybody with basically a smartphone could create a podcast if they wanted to. Obviously not of the best quality, but they could, and they could publish it right there from their smartphone, as long as they have an internet connection. So that got me thinking a lot about, well, I already know how to do all this audio stuff, so I can, the work that I do can definitely be at least polished. And I already know a lot about video games, so might as well start talking about them, because everybody at my house is sick of me talking about video games to them. So might as well just record into a podcast and see if anyone out there is interested. And the first podcast that I did was with my friend Brian from Texas. And we did a Hearthstone podcast, and so at the time we were both playing it, and we thought it was a good kind of like game to explore and like bring out all the strategies and all this stuff. So we started with that, and I was just surprised that anybody actually listened to it. And we had a pretty good audience almost right from the beginning, like a couple hundred people. And after that, I kind of opened my eyes of like how much people out there want to digest this content, and I'm ready to listen to it. And if you're putting it out there and it's good, there's an audience for it. So since then, I've just been kind of experimenting more with it and trying to get better at it, trying to create even more quality content. here we are.
That's I didn't even realize you had. I knew that your co-host Rob has, you know, Villain's Choice. I didn't realize that. I feel like I heard it in passing at some point, but I didn't realize you actually did a Hearthstone. I probably listened then too. I'll be honest, because back when Hearthstone first came out, I was ride or die by that one too.
Yeah, it's a really cool game. I've actually been a little back into it, but I don't play it as seriously anymore for me to justify making a podcast about it. And we did it for about a year. It was called The Hearthaholics, and it was a great experience because the podcast itself never grew into anything super huge, but the person I was doing it with, Brian, he had been podcasting with his brother since he was like 16 years old, like all these other kind of podcasts, mostly about like general topics. He did one about video game music. But he basically had a lot of experience kind of on the co-hosting part and being kind of like a person who directs the conversation. So working with him in kind of like a low-key podcast at first was really good because he kind of like taught me a lot of things of how to interact in a conversation, leaving some space and stuff for the other person to speak. Because all those things are not as intuitive as you would think.
No, they're not. I do this show. I do an interview show, and I've never interviewed anybody in my life. So, like, probably, like, the first two, my wife obviously listens. She's very good at giving feedback, and I try to take it, you know, without getting butthurt about it. But she's like, you have to let these other people talk. Like, you actually have to try to let them talk, because I know you like to dominate conversation. And I'm like, crap, I need to work on that.
No, but it's true. Sometimes you can get really carried away talking, and you're like, well, you know, I have other two people with me here, so I should probably spread out the love.
I'm trying to do that on my other show. I do a show with a couple of my friends as well. It's just the Whiskey Six podcast, where we just talk about whatever game stuff is going on, right? It's a bi-weekly show. I feel like the first two, I dominate the conversation too much. And then, you know, since I got the feedback from doing this show, which I started afterwards, I've been trying to tone that down a little bit and work on that a little bit more. So, I mean, it's an all ever learning process, right? I'm learning new stuff about this every day. So,
for sure.
I love doing it, actually, now. This is like my favorite part of the week.
I think it's very gratifying. I honestly think that everybody should make a podcast, or at least try it one time. Just pick a topic that you're really passionate about and record yourself talking about it and put it out there. Chances are that somebody else is into it too. Like if you're truly passionate about a subject, chances are there's another person out there who is passionate too. And I think it's a great way to meet other people with like-minded interests, or maybe even put yourself out there. Like if you're trying to let other people know that you exist, even like in this vast world, it's a great way for people to find you and be like, hey, I think I like this guy. I like his personality. I like what he says. And they don't even know you, right? But they kind of know you through the podcast. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it totally makes sense. I mean, it's a one-way street mostly, right? They can see... If you're putting yourself out there, right? If you're putting the real you out there, people pick up on that. People pick up on the realness of what people, you know, have to say and how they talk and what they talk about. And so, like, there is that glimpse of that person that you're listening to. I listen to dozens of podcasts, right? And so, like, if I went and I met you and Rob, I would feel like I know a little bit about you guys, even though we've never met in person.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're conscious about that, like we've been trying to be with Rob, you can turn it all the other way around too, because like you said, it tends to be a one-way street where people get to know you, but you don't get to know many of the people that actually listen to your show. And I think that one of the reasons why Omnic Lab ended up being really successful in the Overwatch realm was because we opened the channels of communication the other way around too. With things like Discord, for example, it can be such a great help to build a community, to be able to bring everybody who listens to your show into one same place and to be able to talk back to them and get to know who listens to you and who they are. And you'd be surprised. Like, I've met so many people from all over the world just by doing Omnic Lab and kind of like reaching out and trying to like get to know some of the people. People that are programmers, some work in the service industry, others are unemployed, others just play video games for a living. Some of them are 16, some of them are 40 years old, some of them have like full families, some of them are single. It's just like all kinds of people that you would never otherwise meet. And it's been like super interesting because once I get to know them, they already know a little bit about me, so they kind of like know how to approach me. So I think that makes it even easier to talk to them.
No, for sure. I wanted to actually bring this up too. I actually just joined the Discord recently. I've always, like I told you before, it's always been something that I mean to do, and then when I'm thinking about it, I'm never at the appropriate time to do it. And then when I'm at a decent time where I can do it, I'm already on to the next thing. Like, my life's so go, go, go most of the time that, like, you know, just stuff falls through the cracks, right?
No, I feel you with that.
You guys have fostered, like, a really cool community in the Discord. Like, did that just happen on its own, or, you know, how did that actually come to be?
The Discord community was a really interesting experiment because when we made it, we knew that we wanted to have a central hub where people who listen to the show or like the show could come and talk to us personally, one-on-one, kind of like an open forum. And when we made it, there was probably like 10 people in it. It was Rob and me, some close friends that knew that we were launching the show. And that was about it. But I think that what made it really successful was that as slowly people started trickling in, we really made an effort to make them feel welcomed. We made an effort to make it feel like they were a part of the show too. We really listened to their feedback, and we would constantly try to like do activities that would involve some of the people in the Discord, and even small things like giving small shout outs to some of the people that were helping us out actively on the community. People really were really receptive to those things. It's really funny because Rob and me are two really average dudes, right? We're not anything special, and we just make a podcast about Overwatch, but people get super, super thrilled when we mention them on the podcast or when their name comes up. And whenever we do it, people will come back to us. It's like, oh my God, thank you so much for the shout out in the podcast. That was like really, really awesome. I'm guessing it's kind of like the same feeling when you see yourself on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh my God, I'm on TV kind of thing. But like having like that back and forth with the community really made the people who came to the Discord kind of stay for good. And now that it's grown really big, we have almost over 1,500 people in there. Ooh. It's a little harder to kind of like do that at the individual level, but we still kind of try to do it all the time. When we see a member in the Discord that's really going out of his way to help out other members, or when we see some of them have like really cool projects, and definitely the ones that have supported the show and have like their own content creation ventures, we like making those guys stand out and helping them out as well. So I think that we try to give back to the community as much as they have given us. And I think that's what makes the Discord so solid and the community around Omnic Lab so solid.
No, that's what's on my phone most of the time anymore. I may not like post too much, but I sit there and you guys, there's just really good conversation happening about the game, not about the game, you know, anything that people really seem to want to talk about. And it's all like, you don't see a lot of negativity, which is really weird for the internet. Like,
I'm glad that you mentioned that because we really try to stay away from the negativity in our show. And I think that when we started the show, that was one of the first things that Rob and I really talked about. And we were like, listen, man, if we're going to do this show, we're going to do it because we love this, right? We're not going to do it because we want to criticize the people who are making it or the players who are playing this game. We're not here to be negative Nancys. We really want to concentrate on the things that we enjoy, and especially the learning part. I'm a super, super big fan of channels that are all about education, no bullshit or anything to the side. They're like, hey, if you come here, you're going to learn about this subject. And I'm a super big fan of that kind of style with no kind of like negativity around it. More of a, I like this. This is what I like doing. And this is what we're going to do. Kind of like very simple. And that's kind of like the motto Omnic Lab at least goes by. Like, we want to talk about Overwatch. If you come to the show, if you listen to the show, we want you to at least learn one thing every time you listen to it, and never bash the game or stuff like that, because we play the game. And not to say we don't criticize certain things. Like, of course, we want the game to be the best. But overall, we really focus on just being positive, a positive discussion about it. And I think that reflects with the people that have chosen to follow us, because the people who have chosen to follow us do it because they also don't want that negativity that maybe other content creators or sometimes, you know, Reddit or YouTube has.
No, for sure. You guys actually do a great job at straddling that line of, you know, positive as well as it's not really negative, but it's a critique of, you know, potential things that are going to occur in the game, right? You guys aren't outright negative about it, but if like something's like, that's a little concerning, you know, like with the Anna changes that just happened recently, right? You guys weren't negative about it, but you were critical on it, saying that, you know, Rob was on the stance that it's a little too harsh, and but it didn't come out as like, man, this is bullshit, you know, F this game, yeah, I'm out.
Blizzard, you suck.
Yeah, exactly, which is what you hear most of the time, right? Like, you can go on the Reddit or the forums, and it's just like, what? Like, why? If you're so angry about this, like, you got more important things to worry about.
Yeah. Well, and I think that sort of attitude is very short-sighted too, right? Like, the people who bash on companies like Blizzard, who are making such a tremendous effort to create this game, like let's be honest, if it was easy to create a game like Overwatch, we would have a lot of games like Overwatch. But the truth is that it's not, and it requires a lot of time, a lot of effort, and they have to balance between the tastes of all these people all over the world, which is not easy. Like, we see how hard it is to bring people together, as we've seen by the recent political events that have happened in this country. And like, to make everyone happy is almost impossible. But I also think that you have to appreciate the work that gets put behind those things, and you can't be entitled for those things. You have to understand that everything requires effort, and that they're definitely putting it in. And when you see it that way, it's hard to bash on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm the first one to be critical of something as well. But at that same token, if you keep it constructive, I feel that criticism is always a good thing. I, as I say at the end of every show, I welcome feedback and criticism regardless of good or negative, right? Because there's always, you know, something to glean from it. But there's a difference between criticism and then just being overly negative about something.
Yeah, overly negative and entitled. Like, some of those people criticize those games as if they had been the ones that they had been created for, right? Like, as if the game had just been created for them and they didn't like it. And I don't know. It just doesn't fit well with me.
Yeah, me neither. You see that actually a lot, to step out of Overwatch. You see it a lot with Nintendo recently in the last, 7 years or so? Like,
oh yeah, the criticism they've gotten.
Nintendo gets hate hard recently. So, I mean, and I'll be the first one to criticize Nintendo for things that I don't feel are the best decisions. I could talk for an hour about the Switch, yet, you know, I still want to get one, like, in a really bad way. But
no, I feel you.
You can't find them anywhere, so...
Although there's a fine line, right? Like, there's valid criticism. Like, I got my own criticisms against Nintendo or other companies as well. I don't know if you want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's one thing, you know, to give him credit or constructive criticism, and one way to just, like, outright complain about something that wouldn't exist otherwise. But let's go an example, because there are things to criticize. For example, Nintendo. I think they're a great company. They make fantastic games. I love almost all of the titles that they've put out, like Zelda, Metroid, Super Mario, like just solid, solid games. But they do tend to keep it to their own systems. And that's always kind of been something that kind of rubs me the wrong way. Like, I really wish that you wouldn't lock it to just your system, because the way you guys do it, it makes it really hard for any developer to try to develop for you and everyone else. Although that's more of a problem in video games, the video game industry right now in itself. But I really wish they would like release some of their titles for other consoles. That would be nice if it would spread the love.
I don't even mind like if they keep it to their platform. First party titles sell units, right? And that's then at the end game, that's what they're going to want to do, right? Is they want to sell their console to sell their games. And it makes sense in a business sense, right? But they have to have the hardware to make it worthwhile. And these last two, I mean, you need first parties to sell, but you need third party support as well. I'll stand by this forever, right? PS4 is selling astronomically well. And for the first, 2 years of its lifespan, it had no first party titles except for like Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
So they just need to, I feel that they just need to be somehow more accommodating to third parties. And I feel, I don't know, I think the Switch honestly is like on a more right track than they've been in the last two console cycles.
Switch is a very interesting take. I really want one. I don't have one, but I do think that they've made a modular platform for the first time that might appeal to a lot of people in different situations. I think it's pretty cool that you can be so versatile with it and take it anywhere and still have like some pretty good performance out of it. But let me ask you something, because I'm just curious. This is more of a philosophical question about video game console creators, I guess. Okay. Do you believe that it's good that there's different console creators, or do you think that it would be cool if there was just games rather than like consoles when you play the games, there were just games and then you kind of pick your system, it wouldn't matter?
I didn't expect anything to be turned back on me. Shit.
This is a question that I've been thinking about lately, and I've asked a couple people, so I might as well ask you now that we're talking about this.
I feel competition is a good thing. Competition is what leads to innovation. We have to segregate PC out of this because, you know, they get a lot of stuff, right? They get mostly every third-party title, whether it goes to one console or another, right? So just looking at consoles, yes, competition is a very good thing. It breeds, like I said before, it breeds innovation. You're seeing PlayStation 4 have astronomically better sales than the Xbox One. What's this? Well, Xbox came out, limped out of the gate, in my opinion. Their announcement was not the best, to say the least. It didn't mm-hmm. focus on games. So, but you're starting to see a new Microsoft come out because of their, what's the word I'm looking for here? Because of their not as strong performance compared to Sony, right? So you're yeah. seeing moves like backwards compatibility. You're seeing moves like the Xbox Game Pass, which is a much better system than PlayStation Now could ever be, unless they fix it, which they very well could. You're seeing moves being made from the console manufacturer, from the first parties themselves. So, but if we all had one platform, like, I don't know, I think that we would stagnate, and I think that we would just kind of, games would come out and they may look a little bit better, but you're not going to have any real innovation, right?
I see where you're coming from. You like the innovation that the competition incites, right? Because you have to stand out over the other person.
Exactly.
One of my main gripes, though, is that in order to stand out from each other, though, they segregate the player base in a way. Like, let's say you want to play, I don't know, let's pick like any game, FIFA. You want to play FIFA with your friend, and you got a PS4, and he has an Xbox, and it's the same exact game, same specs and everything, but you can't play it because you have different systems. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I feel that that should be a thing of the past. I think that certain platform holders are very stubborn. To call them out, Sony is very stubborn. This happened, what, a year and a half ago when Rocket League was talking about being
cross-platform?
Cross-compatible, so I could play against PlayStation people. And Microsoft came out and said, yeah, we're all good. Like, totally, the tech's there. We can do it now. And Sony was like, no, it ain't going to happen. And I get why, right? Because they're the market leader. Why would they care? They have a larger player pool to choose from. I feel like this is an antiquated thing. And I feel like that, yes, the competition does create that. I feel that they just need to kind of flip the switch and just do it for certain games. I don't think that in Overwatch, for example, I don't think that consoles should be playing with PC people. That's just
right. But that comes down more to the mechanics of the game and how much you have an advantage when you're playing with a mouse over a joystick. And that would make sense, right? Like in games like that, where there's a clear advantage to people who use certain things. But then again, you can still use a keyboard and mouse on the Xbox. And actually, some people do it. And it's not really like looked up to. It's kind of looked down upon if you do this. Because, come on, it's like bringing a gun to a knife fight. It's
yeah,
like, bro,
exactly.
We're all playing over here with controllers and you're coming here with a mouse. Come on. but technically, you could, like if you wanted to play Overwatch competitively on an Xbox and cross-platform was allowed, you could just get like the Xbox and keyboard mouse, you know, kind of combo and just play in there.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you that it should be a thing of the past. And I've been really thinking about this because video games have never been this popular. Like, this is the day and age of video games. They're so big. Esports are huge. There's a lot of money in them. And people are like constantly consuming these things. But one of my main gripes is that I'm mainly a PC player, and I've spent like a good chunk of money into my PC. I have it like well built. I can play pretty much anything in here. And then new game comes out, for example, Zelda, and it's only out for the Switch. Thankfully, it was out for the Wii as well, so that's how I've been playing it. But now I have to spend, I don't know, another $350, $400, including it to buy a machine that probably performs worse than the one that I actually have right now to play a game that is really awesome. So I don't know, that sometimes rubs me the wrong way, and I wish that some of these companies would be a little more open-minded and be like, you know what? Let's concentrate on the games, and we can still make like a console with certain features that might be really attractive, but not necessarily one that segregates everyone into different chapters. And now there's like these old fake wars of like, oh, PS4 is better than Xbox. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone just wants to play the game.
Yeah. It's still just a black box sitting on underneath your TV.
Yeah.
That plays some games, right?
Exactly.
As long as there's performance parity between the two, right? Yeah, they should definitely be cross-platform play for sure. I think that should be a thing that should have been gone 5-6 years ago, right? As long as there's parity. Like Rocket League,
yeah.
Fine. There's parity, right? Like, yeah. Yes. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to play against somebody I know on PlayStation in Rocket League. So, yeah. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, sorry to derail the conversation a little bit. I was just kind of just had that on my mind. I wanted to ask you what you thought.
No, there's no derailing in this show. There's just question to question. That's okay, cool. This is, man.
Freeform discussion. I like it.
Exactly. We barely talked about the actual Overwatch game. Which I'm surprised.
I talked plenty about that game, so don't get me wrong. I love talking about it, but it's nice to talk about other things too.
No, for sure. I completely understand that. So yeah, this is actually going to, we're running up on time, so this is the part of the show I now call the shameless plug section. So where can people find Andres at?
If you want to personally find me and stay up to date with the projects that I'm working on, you can look me up on Twitter at iPlayGames, and you spell that I-P-L-A-I Games. You can also find me streaming on the Omnic Lab channel. If you go on Twitch, twitch.tv/Omnic Lab, you can find me there. But yeah, the best way to reach me right now is probably through Discord. If you join the Omnic Lab Discord, it's a fantastic community, especially if you're into Overwatch, although there's a bunch of gamers in there that play all kinds of things. So even if you're not super into Overwatch, it's a good place to hang. There's tons of people you can meet. and it's also a great way to get in touch with me if you have any questions, or if you want to ask me anything about music or video games, I'm always there.
Oh, that is a great way of, I use Discord to get a hold of him, honestly.
To go, hey. It's much better than email sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, right? I'm like, hey, can you be on my show? I really like you.
No, well, you're really cool. You're pretty cool. Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a fun little discussion about video games. No, you don't have to ask me twice to talk about them.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And we just found out that we're about 5 minutes away from each other, so we are definitely going to have to meet up and have a couple drinks or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We should go to Battle and Brew and have some games over there. It's a great gaming place here in Atlanta.
Done, for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely in for that. My shameless plug time. You can find me on Twitter at Nadnerb, NADNERB. It's my name spelled backwards. I know, it's super original. I've actually moved away from Twitch, and I'm now streaming on Beam, which is...
On Beam, interesting.
I really enjoy the platform, actually. Especially
I haven't tried it, but that's kind of hipstery, you know, like really going against the crowd there.
I knew I was going to get that at some point, right? But it's, like, I've been playing with it. I find it for my situation better than Twitch. I have a lot of people streaming stuff in my house, so my Twitch stream normally looks like a hot pile of trash.
Gotcha. Yeah, your internet connection is low.
Yeah, Beam, I'm getting a stable 1080 with my trash internet.
Interesting. I should check it out too, because my internet is not the best either. I wish we had Google Fiber around this area.
Yeah, they've been saying they're coming for 3 years now, so I don't know what's really going on.
I've been giving up hope already, dude.
Yeah, pretty much. That's probably the choice thing to do. But anyway, you can actually watch me streaming at beam.pro/nadnerb64. I alternate. I do Mass Effect in the afternoons and then Overwatch at night, depending on, you know, it varies on occasion. I'm grinding through Mass Effect, so that's pretty much all you're going to see right now. And then if you want to be a guest on the show, feel free to email me at whyweplayshow@gmail.com. I can guarantee that you will be on here. And yeah, also, you know, I'm always looking for feedback. If you want to drop a review on iTunes, I've actually gotten some recently. I meant to have them up to read them out, so I'll do that on the next show, but I appreciate all the reviews I've gotten so far and all the feedback I've received. So keep it coming, because it does help me know what I'm doing right and wrong. And yeah, that's my shameless plug section. I never really know how to close these out.
Oh, that is trust me, like, it took us so long to find like a thing. What we do now is we just find a silly catchphrase and we just try to repeat it every show. It seems to work.
I've been trying to find that, and every time I say one, it sounds kind of messy. So I'm still tweaking with it. So we'll see.
It'll come. Just try one. Try a new one every show until one of them sticks.
Done. I can do that. See, that's professional podcasting advice to me right now. So I'm taking it, right? That's feedback. Andres, you've been great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
we'll have to get together again sometime and just talk more about nothingness, or more about games, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Just tell me a date and we'll make it happen.
Done. So until next time, this has been Why We Play. Keep talking and let's play some video games.